Amen. At this time, we're going to prepare to hear a word from the Lord. I'm going to ask that you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. I'm going to read the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And while you're turning there, I'll just say a little quick something about myself. Your pastor, one of your pastors, Jim Mong, is a good friend of mine. We both are residents at First Presbyterian Church in Trenton, Michigan, where we have been serving together, preparing both to plant churches. The Lord has laid upon his heart to plant this work here in Ann Arbor, and the Lord has laid upon my heart to plant a church on the east side of Detroit, where I was born and raised. I was brought up in the city of Detroit and participated in a lot of the darkness and the dysfunction there for most of my teenage years. But the Lord came in and interrupted my life. The Lord just, he began to convict me and deal with me about the way I was living. He began to allow me to see that the only reason why I didn't suffer the same fate that some of my friends suffered, as I saw a number of my friends go off to prison, even some I saw get shot and killed in the streets. And I began to recognize that it had been the Lord's mercy that had spared me. Around that time, my uncle had planted a church, and my mother began to kind of bribe me and force me and kind of plead with me to come to church. And because it was my uncle, I said, okay, I'll come. I started going to midweek Bible studies and I became really interested in some of the things I was learning. And my uncle began to spend time with me, and he led me to Christ. The Lord used him in my life to lead me to a saving knowledge of Christ. But shortly after my conversion, I developed a strong love for the things of God. I began to just want to read and understand the Word of God more and more. I just wanted to know what Christians believe and why they believe it. Began going to the library, started checking out books on church history and reading about various heroes of the Christian faith. And I began to deepen my understanding of what the faith was about. And the more I began to learn about God's word and the more I began to learn about what Christianity was about, I became convinced more and more that this is the answer to the problem here in the city of Detroit. You know, there's things going on here that politically that need to be done. There's things that need to be done with the education and all of that. But ultimately, hearts need to be changed. Minds need to be changed. And I begin to see the only power that can really change lives and transform communities is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord put it upon my heart to plant a church in the city of Detroit where I was born and raised. And the Lord has been really doing some wonderful things in our lives. The Lord has blessed us to get a building. We've been making some good inroads into the community. And we're not far from seeing the dream come to reality. So I would ask that you pray for us. The name of our church is 5.7 Community Church. I have a website. You can look at www.5.7.org. We have a website where I write blogs and post updates about things that we're doing. And we just appreciate your prayers, because Detroit is a very needy place, but we have a great God, and he's able to do wonderful and mighty things.
5.7, what's that?
What happened was, we were looking up some demographic information about the neighborhood as we were trying to look for a way to make inroads into the community. And one of the things we found out was that the particular zip code which the Lord had laid upon my heart was 5.7 square miles in area. And then, not only that, we said, it was just something about that number 5.7 that just stuck with us. And we began to say, well, are there some scriptures to go along with that? And we came across Matthew 5:7, which says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And then we came across 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, which says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we said, faith and mercy. That's kind of our whole idea behind our ministry. We're driven by faith, and we're driven by a desire to show mercy and the love of Christ. And so 5.7, it shows our target area, a particular zip code, and it points to two of our core values. All right. And so we're going to read, I'm going to read for you at this time, Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 35, from verses 35 to 38. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. Lord God, I pray that you would visit us with your spirit. I ask, Lord God, that you would open these, your people, that you would open their ears to hear your word. I ask, Lord God, that you would fill me with your spirit and empower me to proclaim your word with truth and clarity and boldness. Lord, let your blessing be upon us as we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you today on the subject of mission driven by compassion. Mission driven by compassion. Now, in the passage of scripture that we're looking at in Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38, this particular passage, it's kind of summarizing what Jesus has been doing in the previous two chapters, and it's also kind of a prelude to what he's about to do in chapter 10. In chapters 8 and 9, we see Jesus proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God, teaching about the kingdom of God, and we see him healing the sick and driving out demons and ministering to the people all around Palestine. In chapter 10, we see him appointing his 12 disciples to go and to send them out to go out and to proclaim the gospel as well. In chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, Matthew kind of gives us a summary of what Jesus has been doing, and he's preparing us for what's to come, where Jesus is about to appoint the 12 in order to send them out. But I want you to notice something here in these particular verses where Matthew gives us a summary of what Jesus had been doing in his ministry. He gives us some insight into what actually drove Jesus. He gives us some insight into what was it that inspired and motivated Jesus as he went about doing his mission. And you know, in other places in the Bible, we see that Jesus, he clearly did what he did out of his love for the Father. You remember when he said, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me," talking about his Father. And you remember the time when Jesus, as a little boy, when he went up to Jerusalem to worship with his family, and he got lost, or rather, their parents lost him, and they came back to Jerusalem and found him in the temple. And he was talking to the scribes and the leaders and the elders. And they said, "Boy, where were you? We were sick, worried sick about you." And Jesus said, "Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business?" So clearly we see that Jesus was driven by a zeal and a passion to do the will of his Father. Jesus was driven, had a strong drive to fulfill God's eternal purpose and plan. He said, "I delight to do thy will." Many times we see Jesus saying things like, "The scriptures must be fulfilled. Suffer this to happen. The scriptures must be fulfilled." Jesus understood that God had an eternal purpose, and that purpose had been prophesied about in the Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus knew that the word of God must be fulfilled. But that's not the only thing that drove Jesus. It wasn't only his desire to complete the Father's will. It wasn't only his desire to fulfill the scriptures, but it was also his great love and compassion for hurting people. Notice what it says here in verse 34, verse 35. What we see here is Jesus on mission. Jesus on mission in verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Verse 35 gives us a view of the main points of his ministry, which ultimately it was going around and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And again, we see the foundation laid for this in the Old Testament. If we want to understand what is the kingdom of God all about, we have to look in the Old Testament. And you remember God had his covenant people, the nation of Israel. Israel were to be God's witness among the heathen nations. They were to be in covenant relationship with God. They were to keep the commandments of God. And they were to reflect the truth of the true God in the midst of these idolatrous nations. However, Israel failed. Israel failed to keep the covenant. And as a result, God had to bring the covenant curses upon them, which was ultimately fulfilled in the Babylonians coming in and tearing up the city of Jerusalem, destroying the temple, and leading the Jews away captive. However, God, in his great mercy, he would not suffer that to be the end of Israel, because God had promised that through the nation of Israel, through the descendants of Abraham, he would cause a seed to be born, and through that seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so God had a reason for preserving Israel. So he sent these prophets. He sent Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and all these other prophets. And they began to prophesy about a coming redeemer who would redeem Israel out of Babylon and all the other places where they had been scattered. And this coming redeemer, he would gather Israel, the lost scattered tribes, and he would bring them back to Zion, the city of God. And David, King David, his son would, a son of David would arise, and he would sit on the throne, and he would destroy God's enemies, and he would liberate Israel and bring in righteousness and purge them of their sin. And from Jerusalem, the knowledge of God would flow out to all the nations, and all the nations of the world would come to know the true God, and the kingdom of God under the rule of this son of David would spread over the whole world until the whole world was brought under the knowledge and worship of the true God. And so all the prophets prophesied about this coming king and this coming kingdom. And when Jesus came and began his earthly ministry, Jesus began to preach that kingdom is near. You see, Jesus was that son of David. Jesus was the one that all the prophets said would come. Jesus was the one who would liberate Israel and defeat the enemies of God. And Jesus was the one who would purchase redemption for God's people and establish the rule of God over the earth. All of this would be done through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in a sense, he was the embodiment and ultimate fulfillment of all those prophecies. And so Jesus went throughout the Palestine among all God's people, proclaiming to them, the king is here. The kingdom is at hand. Prepare yourself, repent, believe the gospel message. The kingdom of God is at hand. So he went proclaiming that this kingdom had come. And he went into their synagogues. These were the places where the Jews came to worship on the Sabbath day and to read the Old Testament. Jesus went to the synagogues and he began to teach them about this kingdom. He began to show them how that everything in the Old Testament was pointing to himself. But then also Jesus, as he went about preaching and teaching, he also went about performing miracles. It says also in that 35th verse that he went healing every disease and every affliction. And ultimately these healings, these miraculous healings, they were signs to demonstrate or to validate that Jesus really was who he said he was, said he would be. If you remember, there was a time when John the Baptist, who was the final Old Testament prophet, who pointed that Jesus was the Lamb of God, when John the Baptist was in prison, John the Baptist began to get a little confused because things wasn't happening the way he thought it should be happening. And so he sent two of his disciples to Jesus and said, hey, are you the coming one or should we look for another? And Jesus didn't answer his question. Jesus performed some miracles. He healed in front some people in front of them. And then he said, now, go tell John what you just saw. In other words, he was saying, I'm fulfilling what the Old Testament prophets said the Messiah would do. Go tell John Jesus is doing what the prophet said he would do. He's healing the sick. He's driving out demons. He's raising the dead. He's proclaiming the good news to the poor. He must be the one who is to come because he's performing the miracles that it was said the Son of David would do. So these miracles were signs to demonstrate that Jesus was whom he said he was, in which he claimed that he was the Son of God, the Messiah who was to come. So this was Jesus' mission, was to announce that the kingdom of God had come. But I want you to notice now in verse 36, what happens in the midst of this, in the midst of Jesus proclaiming the kingdom and teaching about the nature of the kingdom and doing miracles, demonstrating his power. Notice something that happens to Jesus in verse 36. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. And remember, there were great crowds about Jesus. The Bible tells us that multitudes begin to come from the surrounding cities around Galilee, from as far as Syria, from around the Decapolis, from Capernaum, and even from down from Jerusalem, all around, crowds of people begin to come. And they begin to bring their sick, and they begin to bring their loved ones who were afflicted with demons. They begin to come to Jesus. You think about the woman with the issue of blood. Think about the blind Bartimaeus. Think about the men with the leprosy. These were people who had been afflicted for many years with various sicknesses and diseases. And they heard that this Jesus was performing miracles. And then there was others who wanted to just come and hear him. Because Jesus would preach and the people would say, who is this? Who he said he preached not like the scribes and the Pharisees. He preached with authority. His preaching was with an authority that the people never heard before. And then you all know how we are. Whenever we hear a big buzz about something, then you got certain people who want to come just to see, hey, what's the big fuss about? Let me see what's going on. So people begin to come by the multitudes just to get a glimpse at this man, Jesus, who's doing these miracles, trying to hear the message of this man whom they say is preaching with so much authority. If you remember the time when Jesus and his disciples were in Peter's house, the Bible says that there was such a great crowd around Peter's house that there were some men carrying their friend who was lame, who couldn't walk. They was carrying him on the bed. The crowd around the house was so big that they went up on the house and pulled up the roof and lowered him down in the midst of Jesus from the roof. That just gives you an idea of how big the crowds were. You remember when the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus at one point in time was doing so many miracles, healing so many people, that a multitude of people was with Jesus for like 2 or 3 days. They were so enraptured, so captivated by Jesus. They were with him for days and hadn't had anything to eat. And Jesus, that's when he did the miracle of taking the 5 fish and the 7 loaves of bread and turning it into enough food. And the Bible said it was 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So these were great multitudes of people that were following Jesus around. And you know, I think about myself. When you it will do good to give you a sense of what's going on if you read all of this in one sitting. You read through the book of Matthew or Mark or Luke, one of the Gospels, and read it in one sitting. And it kind of gives you a picture of how fast-paced the action was. You get the idea, especially when you read Mark's account. You get the idea that so many people were coming at Jesus that he didn't even have a time to sit down and eat. He would tell his disciples, come on, let's go somewhere. They get into a boat and they try to sail off to get away from the crowds. And they go to the other shore and there'd be another crowd over there waiting for him. I mean, the man had no time to sit down and rest. Now, I think about me, if that was me, when I see this big crowd of people, I think I'd be frustrated. I'd say, wow, will these people give me a break? I just need a minute to just kind of sit down and clear my head. I just need a little nap. I haven't had anything to eat all day. I don't want to see any more people. But that wasn't Jesus' response. Verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. That word compassion is an interesting word. If any of you are familiar with the old King James, there are certain places in the King James where you'll read where Paul may have made a comment saying, I long for you in my bowels of compassion. That word compassion, it literally means in the Greek bowels. And the idea here is that this compassion, it is a feeling of pity which comes deep from the innermost parts of a person. What it's saying here is that when Jesus saw these great multitudes of people coming to him, he was moved deep down within himself with compassion. He felt a great deal of pity and empathy for these people. What is it that he saw when he saw these people? The Bible uses a couple of very interesting words here. In verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. That word harassed, it means to be troubled. It means it carries the idea of just being tired, being worn out. In the old King James, it says they fainted. This word, it carries the idea of somebody being so troubled, so harassed, so beat up by life that they're just tired. They're just worn out. And then the other word here he uses, they were harassed and helpless. And that word for helpless, in the old King James, it says scattered abroad. But it carries the idea of something being thrown down. Something being cast down. It carries with it the idea of just being dejected, being real low. Brothers and sisters, what do we see when we see people in their sin? You know, a lot of times it's easy for us to look at people who are separated from God and they're living a life that is contrary to the word of God. And it's easy to look at those people and see them just as wicked, evil, sinful people. And you know, that's not incorrect. The Bible says we all have sinned. Romans chapter 3 tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. And so these people, they were sinful people, but Jesus didn't see their sin. Their sin was not the first thing that Jesus saw about them. What Jesus saw was their hurt. He saw their sad condition. Jesus was moved with pity. I like what the scripture says next. It says, they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, in the Bible, the scriptures refer to the people of God as sheep quite often. And one of the things we know about sheep is that sheep are very vulnerable creatures. Sheep needs a shepherd. They need someone to constantly watch them. Sheep will stray away and be devoured by wolves or can be stolen, or they'll get themselves in all kind of danger. Sheep are very vulnerable. That's why they need the shepherd to watch over them and protect them. Jesus saw these people in the multitude. He saw them as people who were in great need of some love and some compassion. I want to read a passage of scripture to you from Ezekiel, which sheds some light on this verse, wherein it says that the multitudes were like sheep without a shepherd. If you look with me in Ezekiel chapter 34, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 2. Now, this is God speaking to the leaders of Israel. The leaders of Israel were the shepherds of the nation. And so notice what God says to the leaders of the nation of Israel. Verse 2. Son of man, he's talking to Ezekiel the prophet, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves? Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And notice here, God is describing his people, and he's saying to the leaders, I have appointed you to be shepherds over my people. But you have not bound up the sick. You have not fed the hungry. You have not tended to my sheep, but you have fed yourselves. And so in Matthew chapter 9, when the Bible says that Jesus saw the multitude as sheep without a shepherd, this also was an indictment against the religious leaders of Israel. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had not been feeding the people of God as they ought to. They'd been starving God's people. They had not been teaching them the word. They have not been leading their people in the things of God. And the people were like sheep scattered abroad. And so, brothers and sisters, this is the way we should look at things when we look at the state of the world today, when we look at our communities, when we look at the world around us. When we see and when we hear about in the news, especially our young people, how they're struggling with sexual perversion, they're struggling with their identity. We read about gun violence everywhere. We read about, it seems like our society is coming apart. But these are people in need of a shepherd. These are people harassed and helpless because of sin. This is what sin does to us all. Even those of us who may feel that we got our lives together, even the rich man who does not know God, even the rich man who has more money than he can spend in his bank, and he has everything at his disposal, and it seems like everything is going well with him. But apart from God, you are a sheep scattered abroad. You are a helpless person. Because the Bible says he that commits sin is the slave of sin. And the Bible says when sin is finished, it works death. And so apart from God, we are all helpless. Apart from God, we are all beat down and cast down because of our sin. And so the last thing we want to look at, and we'll wrap up after this last point, but we want to see Jesus' prayer requests in verse 37 and 38. Jesus' prayer request. So after seeing the sheep, the people, and being moved with compassion, it says in verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so Jesus' response to seeing this multitude in such a helpless condition, being moved with such compassion for this broken, needy, sinful people, Jesus' response was to tell his disciples, pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, which is God. Showing what? The harvest represents what? The world of humanity. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's. The earth, with the fulness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. The Bible says all souls are mine. This is still God's world. And so Jesus told his disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his vineyard. Now this is the thing that is on the heart of Jesus. Jesus wants to see laborers in the vineyard. Jesus wants to see shepherds going out after these lost sheep. And brothers and sisters, we have the answer. We have what they need. Those of us who have come to know the shepherd ourselves, because the real shepherd of the sheep is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. In that same chapter, in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 34, where God brings this indictment against the leaders of Israel, if you go on reading, you see where God goes on to say, I myself will come and seek after my sheep. And Jesus was the fulfillment of that. Because this man Jesus was none other than God in the flesh. Jesus was none other than the second person of the Godhead become human being. And he came down here to seek and to save which was lost. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to heal the sick and the afflicted. Jesus came to gather in those scattered sheep. And before he ascended up to heaven, he gathered his disciples together and he says, now you go. The same work that Jesus did when he was here, he has sent his church to finish that work. As Jesus was going from city to city proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, he have entrusted that same mission to us. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. We have been sent out by the great shepherd as under shepherds to go and proclaim the message of the gospel. And as we go, brothers and sisters, yes, let us go in obedience. Let us go in order to fulfill the great purpose of our God. But let us also go in compassion. Let us also be driven by a sense of compassion and pity when we see around us the many people that are beat down by sin, deceived by the deceptions of the evil one, the deceptions of this world. Let us be driven by compassion to gather in the scattered sheep. Let us pray.